It's good to be somewhere that that where I don't have to explain my accent. So last Sunday we were about an hour and a half north of Sacramento, and I felt the need to explain my accent. I thought some people in the room might notice it, and so I was kind of breaking the ice, and I said, you know, we serve in Japan. We've been there for 11 years, but I grew up over in Lexington, North Carolina, and that explains why I talk like this. And people roared. Everybody laughed, and I thought, oh, okay. Yeah, I do stand out here. I thought I did. It's good not to stand out. Or maybe I still stand out. I don't know. We were staying last week with this couple. It turns out they're avid readers. They love to read. I think the wife must read. I think she had four books going at that time. And we were just comparing notes. I like to read like science fiction and fantasy stuff. And she was saying some of the titles that she was reading. And I was like, oh, I love that book. That's such a good book. And at the time, I thought, I wish she named this book by Orson Scott Card, Ender's Game. Card grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina, and she said, I'm reading that. Have you ever read it? And I said, I wish I could go back and read that book again for the first time. It was such a delight to read. And then I started thinking about all of the books that I wish I could go back and read for the first time. And that made me think about our friends in Japan. I stand before them a lot of times on Sunday, and the people in the congregation that are hearing the gospel, guys, they've never heard this before. We preached from Genesis 1:1 a while back. God created the heavens and the earth, and I was sharing really simple ideas. There's a God in heaven, and He made you, and He did so with a purpose, and He did so so that you could live in relationship to Him and with one another, And we were just talking about stuff like that, and I'm looking out at eyes in the room, and eyes that are full of tears, and just realizing, like, you don't know this good news. Genesis 1:1 is good news. If you think that your hope rests in an idol in a temple down the street. So I wasn't planning to say any of that, but I hope that as you listen to the words, the good news of the gospel from Psalm 107 today, like this isn't a super well-known psalm. Maybe somehow you could adjust and try to hear what good news this is and try to receive it. Like for yourself today. And I'm going to try to do the same. This is from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 22. It's a long passage. I'm not going to talk about every word of this today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He's good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He's redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted within them. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He delivered them from their distress. And He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in afflictions and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and they had spurned the counsel of the Most High. And so he bowed their hearts down with hard labor, and they fell down with none to help. But they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters doors of bronze, and he cuts in two bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, they suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word, and he healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. Father, we're these people in this psalm. We know it. And we cry out to you today in our distress, those of us who are feeling that. And we give thanks to you for being the kind of God who hears us and responds. Thank you for being the God who saves. Lord, would you take your word and would you push it more deeply into our hearts today? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so of course, Psalm 22 is long, so it goes on. It's like this beautiful song with this like wonderful repeating chorus, kind of like some of the hymns that we sang this morning. It comes in this section in the Psalms that's full of praise to God for being a good and faithful King to us. This morning, we're not going to look at every verse of this. You'll be glad to know that I'm not going to try to do that. I know we can't, but I would encourage you to spend some time in Psalm 107 this week. Read it. Like, let it sink in. It'll help you. But today, I just want to zero in on a few lines in the psalm that repeat and a few ideas that repeat over the course of it. And first, I want to just highlight a word that shows up in every stanza. Because four times in the verses that I read just now, the psalmist, he calls us to remember and to give thanks for God's steadfast love. The Japanese translates this with one word, megumi. It's grace. The English translates this word hesed. And I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. It translates this word hesed with two words. Steadfast love. And hesed, it's this big word. It's giant. It carries all of this meaning. It's not just love. It's not just grace, as if grace could ever be described as just. Right? It's the steadfast love of the Lord. It's a word that calls to mind things like goodness and faithfulness and mercy. It's a word that kind of plows up ideas like loyalty and grace and love. And verse 1 in the psalm, it's full of gratitude for the kind of posture that God has with us as his people. It's like the man in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan who cared for the sick man, even though nothing required him to care for the sick man. We show this kind of steadfast love when we sacrifice our own comfort for another person, or when we love another person, even though we're not going to get anything back from that. And when you think about it that way, it's not surprising to me that God would command that kind of love from us. That's not where the surprise is. The surprise is and what's truly amazing is to think that God has that kind of posture toward us, that He has that kind of posture. Here's some other Old Testament passages where this word has said, is used, is translated the same way in the ESV. In Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping His steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Or in Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, you might know the song that sings these verses. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Remember singing that song? And so Psalm 107, it's celebrating, it's singing about God's passionate, overflowing, never-ending mercy for His people. And the psalmist is saying, guys, this is something that we should long to hear again and again, like it's the first time. Our Japanese friends hear this and they say, that sounds great, but that sounds almost too good to be true. Gina and I were listening to a song on the way to church or on the way to worship this morning. It's something that I've stumbled onto, but I don't even know the artist, but she's singing over and over again. It's way too good to be understood, but it's not too good to be true. We're the recipients of this incredible, steadfast love of the Lord, this covenant-keeping, life-transforming love from God. And in Psalm 107, it becomes even more surprising, more amazing, when the psalmist starts to think about the kinds of people that God loves. He starts to think about the fact that God didn't choose to have this kind of posture with us because we're so strong and faithful and beautiful. But He chose to pour out this steadfast love on us, even though we're not any of those things. The good news is shocking. This psalm was likely written as God's people were returning from the exile in Babylon. We've been called into that same family, and so it's our story. There are three kinds of people. There are actually four, but I stopped in verse 22. But there are three kinds of people that the psalmist kind of zeroes in on. In verse 4, he starts out, he says, some wandered in the desert. Probably this is a reference to the Israelites who were carried away by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. They literally wandered in the desert without a city to call their home. Probably the Israelites who were reading about this would also think back to the Exodus from Egypt when they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness as Moses led them out of slavery. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were without a home. If God hadn't led them, if He hadn't provided for them, their whole nation would have died. But during those times in the desert, they experienced the steadfast love of the Lord. He provided food. He provided water from rocks. He lit their way in the darkness with a pillar of fire. He showed them that he was with them. He's the kind of God who satisfies the hungry soul. The psalmist is thinking about that. And so I don't know where you guys are. We're out of touch. We're a long ways away. But maybe some of you, like maybe you can relate to what it's like to be in the desert. You might know what it's like to have a soul that just feels like it's parched and dying of thirst. Maybe you can relate to that not just back in the dusty past, but you feel that way today. Lost. Or maybe your heart breaks for someone in your life that you love that's in the desert right now. And maybe you've experienced the steadfast love of the Lord. A lot of you have. We have, right? The steadfast love of the Lord that satisfies the hungry soul and fills it up with good things. Brothers and sisters, if that describes you, you can join in the song of Psalm 107 and thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he satisfies longing souls, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Do you hear the music of this song today? It's for us. Verse 10 says this, some sat in darkness. The Israelites were in exile, and they were in exile because of their sin. They weren't just victims of circumstance. They weren't just victims of stronger armies around them. Throughout their history, God had protected them in the shadow of stronger nations all around them. But the Israelites had left God. They had turned to other gods. They even brought idols into the temple and worshiped them together with God. And as a result, God removed the light of his presence from Israel and he left them in darkness. He gave them what they deserve. Guys, our Japanese friends can relate to these images so well. They're experiencing. They know what it's like to be in darkness. They're experiencing that. They're experiencing the darkness of God that comes from the curse of God on sin. They're experiencing the darkness that comes from worshiping idols. And you and I have idols in our lives too, right? The idols in our town are idols. They're rocks. They're around every corner. There's incense burning in 20 temples within a 5-minute walk of our apartment. We look out of our balcony, kind of look out across our balcony, and we can see hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of windows. And behind every window, there's a butsudan where people are praying to their ancestors and worshiping idols. And so I just want you to know, Japan's dark. They're experiencing the darkness of idolatry. We experience the darkness of idolatry. It looks a little different. It's the same result. There's also the darkness in Japan that's just the natural result of being a place where there aren't many Christians. 0.5%. It's a spiritual desert. It's dark. And so when I preached from Psalm 107 about a year and a half ago to our little congregation in Nagoya, it sounded like amazing news to the preacher and to the people. God's steadfast love moves into the darkness, even in the darkness that we deserve, especially in that. In his steadfast love, God sent his Son, the light of the world, into this dark world to pay for all of our dark sin. And in his steadfast love, God has sent the gospel of light into dark Japan. And into the darkness in this room. He's the kind of God who breaks open prison walls. Who cuts bars of iron. And shines light into dark places. He's that kind of God. It sounds too good to be understood. It's not too good to be true. And so let me ask again, a little different way. What about you? Like, have you experienced what it's like to sit in the darkness? And have you experienced the steadfast love of God who shines light, His light, into that darkness and makes blind eyes see? Aren't you glad He's that kind of God? For some of you, He might be opening your eyes now. And if so, the psalmist is calling us into the music of this psalm. Give thanks to the Lord for His steadfast love and His wondrous works to the children of men. For He shatters the doors of bronze and He cuts in two bars of iron and He shines His light into dark places. Verses 17 through 22, some acted like fools in their sin, like foolish in sin, like those things seem to naturally go together. Here's another verse, Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. Moses wrote this, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, holding fast to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days." That sounds sane. God gave the Israelites this choice between life and death. They could walk with God and obey Him, which would bring life and blessing, or they could disobey Him and receive death and curse from Him. That's the choice. That's the choice. And it's the choice before us also. Walking with God brings life. Disobeying Him and turning from Him, it brings darkness and death. And yet, just like the Israelites, we make this foolish choice. What could be more foolish? To disobey God, rebel against His command, turn from Him over and over, and experience death. Why would anyone choose death over life when the God of heaven and earth offers life? But friends, even our foolish sinning, our insanity, can't hold back God's steadfast love. His love is faithful, even when we're not. And some of you are listening and you think, "I'm not being faithful right now." Friends, the good news of the gospel, He is. Even when you're not. His love is generous toward people, even when we're sinning. He's moving toward us so often when we're running away from Him. Even God's discipline, which is heavy, even that's meant to call us back into fellowship with Him so that we can receive life and experience His steadfast love. And so how are you doing? Where are you? Are you being a fool right now? Are you rebelling against your Heavenly Father who's full of steadfast love for you? Do you realize, like today, even right now through Psalm 107, that He's moving toward you? You're actually being invited into this song today. Thank the Lord for His steadfast love and His wonderful works to the children of men. and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of all his deeds with great joy. So there's this pattern, I hope you see here, of crying out and receiving mercy in the psalm. And every stanza, there's trouble and there's a turning point and then there's deliverance. And it's true as you read on to the next stanza. In every example, the trouble that the people experience causes them to cry out to God. And in every example, as the people cry out to God, God responds to their cry. This is the kind of God we serve, even when we're thirsty, even when we're sitting in darkness because of our own foolishness and sin. He's coming for us and he's ready to respond to our cry of deliverance, or our cry for deliverance. He's like the father and the prodigal son in that story that Jesus told, who saw his son when he was still far away. And he ran out to him and he kissed him and he restored him to the family. And if you read the parable, the son didn't even get around to an apology. He's rehearsing it. And the father just smothered him with welcome. Guys, the sinful things that you've done are not the greatest barrier to your fellowship with God. The greatest fellowship to your fellowship with God is the hard heart that's so slow to repent. It's the way that we're tempted to hide and withdraw in our sin. The way we try to wait until we're better to get around to calling out to God. And in Psalm 107, the pattern is calling out to God from in our trouble. Not before it happens, certainly not after it's resolved. The people were in the desert. They were thirsty. They were in the darkness. They couldn't see. They were suffering under God's heavy hand because of their foolishness. And they cried out to God from inside of their trouble when they had no solution and they couldn't understand what he was doing or where he was. That's faith. They admitted in doing so that they were powerless to save themselves. They turned from their self-reliance. They turned toward God and they asked for his help and they came with empty hands. And God heard them and he delivered them from their trouble, even the trouble they deserved. Right? This isn't just something that happens one time in a person's life when they come to Jesus for the first time. It certainly happens then. If you don't know Jesus, you should turn to him today. Run to him. Don't waste time. Join the song of Psalm 107. But Christians can wind up in the darkness. And Christians can wind up thirsty and parched. And sometimes Christians can be really slow to repent and turn to Jesus from within all of that. Friends, he's not far away from you. This is a picture of God's steadfast love for us. The fact today that you see your sin and your foolishness, that actually qualifies you in some ways to receive the steadfast love of the Lord. You can't deserve his mercy. You'll never be good enough to receive it. But you can ask for it. So I think I got ahead of myself, but I'll say it again because it's in my notes and I want to make sure I say it. This psalm isn't just about looking back and thanking God for what he's done in the distant past. It's more than that. This is a psalm that reminds us of patterns that are true of God and true of his people and true of how we relate to him. It's a song. And the words of the song, we could even kind of think about it like steps to a dance. And the steps in this particular dance are repentance and faith and receiving and gratitude. And we cry out to God in our trouble. He moves toward us with deliverance and steadfast love, and we experience his grace and overflowing thanksgiving. The ultimate expression of God's steadfast love came at the cross. At the cross, God sent his son Jesus to pay for all of our foolishness and sin. He really received the curse that we deserve so that we can receive the blessings of God's steadfast love. He sent his son into this world before anyone was crying out in their trouble. And he sent Jesus into our lives, even though we weren't crying out to him. And today, right now, the Holy Spirit still takes the first step. He always initiates. He's always moving toward us first. That's the love of God. And so, friends, if your soul is dry and dark and you are being foolish, don't sit in that any longer. Cry out to God. And whatever your trouble, turn to the God of Psalm 107 because he's full of steadfast love. He's not far away. He's near at hand. He'll hear you when you cry to him. Hook your faith into him again today. And maybe today you're in a place where, like, you're experiencing God's steadfast love. And everything seems right in the world. There are seasons like that, aren't there? I don't think I'm there today, but there are seasons like that. And when you're there, you ought to just sing louder because the rest of us need to overhear you. He's with us, friend. Thank the Lord for his steadfast love and his wondrous works to the children of men. Let's pray.